This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frieda Liu. It's Open for Business. Today, we're going to be discussing how can businesses adopt technology. So it sounds like common sense in an industrialized world. Businesses should be incorporating technology into their operations. But what kind of technology? When? And what happens if you realize too late that you need a tech solution to your problem? I'm here with Renuka Sena of Proficio, and he is here to talk about how businesses can adopt technology. What we're going to be doing is we'll be discussing several case studies, and these are your clients as well, right? So very real stories, right? And what you did with them. And very interesting. This is the one on a floral business. And so this is a brick and mortar floral business going e-commerce. So let me read the scenario here. The business were good. They were growing and it managed to raise funds. However, with growth comes the need for efficiency. They knew they had non-automated business operational processes, which meant slow manual delivery with long turnaround times. So with flowers, product freshness is key, and they knew that look at software solutions. So they adopted a software solution that automatically groups drop-off areas, types of flowers, and provides intelligence of delivery partners to use. Okay. And so what happened here, Renuka?
So when I spoke to this company, and they were one of our recent graduates, they're called Bloomdis, and their husband and wife team, very, very passionate, come from a background of, you know, children taking over floral business from their parents. And they were actually doing really well. They'd gone e-commerce, but on top of everything, I think one of the biggest issues that they told me about was one Mother's Day. They had so many orders, and they then realized that essentially there was no efficiency in actually sending out these flowers. And with an important day like Mother's Day, say for example, it's actually quite crucial that the flowers arrive on the day and in the morning so that someone actually gets that surprise. It was a very, very harsh lesson for them, which led them to then look at efficiencies. So when they first started out, I think like any other brick and mortar company, what they were looking for is what are the readily available solutions out there? And you kind of get to a place where you think, nothing's going to suit me because my business is so different. But also, I don't have the money to actually develop something and I don't have the experience. You know, I don't come from a tech background. The advice is for the founders to go down to the production and operational level. Literally sit and watch their people work.
Right.
And find out where were they doing things repeatedly. So if they were doing things repeatedly, then there was an opportunity for automation. Before you decide on embarking on technology, it's important, one, to understand which processes you want to automate. Secondly, how do you want to automate and how does it affect your business? And should it really be something that you spend money on because it's going to save you that time or help you make decisions? Thirdly, once you start using the technology, then only decide what doesn't work for you and what you should then integrate so that it actually now becomes a customized solution for you. So the cost implications are very major. If you were to develop something from scratch, and personally, Frieda, we've done this ourselves in Proficio, we anticipate that this is what or how someone's going to use something, and then you spend all of that money developing it. And when you develop it, you find out the UI is not right, processes are wrong, and it's an expensive affair to then go and do build that whole thing again. And we've had to scrap that twice already,
right?
You know, so now we're actually on our version 3, even ourselves. And Gideon and Bloomdis did the same thing. They waited to actually see what part of these off-the-shelf solutions worked and what parts didn't work. And then they employed the software vendors to say, can you build something to integrate with this so that I don't have to build the whole thing again? And so now their solution is very customized to them. But at the end of the day, it is something that helps them with better decision making.
You know, so what happened after they did this? You know, what were the results?
First thing was basically they had very high customer retention rate. So because they delivered moments and because people were happy with their delivery, at the end of the day, what they got back was people came back for more. Mm. So they actually managed to have higher retention rates. Okay. But more importantly, because of the efficiency, they could now set up hubs around Malaysia. So they weren't limited anymore to just Klang Valley. Mm. And by the end of the program, they'd actually started delivering to Singapore.
Right.
You know, which to me is amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll go through another case study. And this is an F&B restaurant, you know, and how to overcome constraints of location with data. So, you know, for all restaurants, location is key. This one, although having great food prepared by a Michelin star trained chef, no less, was struggling as the location limited the exposure to only tenants in the building. They were unable to drive traffic to restaurant from outside. And as with many F&B businesses, they decided to explore coaching. So, you know what happened here?
They had a lot of constraints because completely halal, they refused to even serve alcohol.
Right.
Whereas there was a lot of, I think a lot of restaurants who wanted to do that,
right,
decided that they would go down that path because it attracted more customers. Mm. But they stuck to their principles.
Right.
But within the Shell building and in an office type of complex, there's a lot of constraints in terms of how they can advertise. And they really were at their wit's end. They were like, you know, we thought we were doing everything right, but what's happening? So they first started off with a reservation system.
Okay.
So you think the reservation system, that's a dime a dozen, literally. But
right,
each of these reservation systems do very different things. Some of them literally is just for someone to go online and make a reservation. But reservation systems in this day and age, they come with a lot more data analytics. So what this reservation system did, and it's called Umai.
Mm.
And what they do is once a reservation comes in, there is an automatic sort of reminder sent to make sure that you confirm your reservation. They also have tags which they can pull about who this person is and where they're from. Also about what their likes and dislikes, and you can add on to them. So it's a reservation system plus a mini CRM.
Right.
So it really helped them make that experience for the customer a lot more customized. So if you know that someone has got an allergy, you automatically only recommend. And you know, when you go into a restaurant and someone says, "Mr. So and So, we would recommend that you don't have these things because of your allergy." So you know you don't have to take in, you know, you don't even have to consider some of those things.
Mm.
So customer experience, when it goes better, obviously people talk about it, they come back. But in addition to that, they instituted a reward system. So a reward system then tracks basically what people eat, how often they eat, and then they can come up with customized sort of loyalty program for them to redeem. And the data that they're looking at is, what are the sort of things people like redeeming? What is the price range that they find is good enough for it to be redeemed and come back to the restaurant? How do they do referral systems and reward customers? So I find that nowadays, with all of this talk about IR 4.0 and big data and IoT, it goes above a lot of people's head. In fact,
right,
it goes above my head.
Right.
You know, but if you break it down, data really is what data is important to you.
Mm.
And the data important to an F&B business is, who's their clientele?
Mm.
How much is their average spend? So we call it customer lifetime value, right? Do they come more than once in a month or more than once in a week? Do they bring their friends? So they always come with the same people. These kinds of insights is the data that's important to them. And when they come in and you track this data and the customer actually gets that sort of experience, there is a higher likelihood they come back. So, you know, for them in particular, just with two very, very simple solutions, which is a high-end reservation system that told them who was coming in the door and how to treat them when they got there, and then a reward system, so when they left, they would know how to bring them back. Mm-hmm. So I find that the cardinal sin that most SMEs make is that everyone chases customer acquisition.
Right.
You know, everyone is spending money on new customers, new customers, new customers. As soon as they get the customer, they forget about them. And that is applies across the board. It's not just F&B
right.
or services-based businesses. Right. It's everybody. You find a way to keep them happy. You find a way to sell them more. You bring them in the door more to buy from you. And you get them to refer others to come to you. So within a span of literally 10 months, they increased their customer lifetime value from an average of 400 ringgit per customer to 1,000 ringgit per customer. And the interesting statistic that she told me was that they realized that after a customer comes to Copper 3 times, right, their customer lifetime value actually jumps beyond the 1,000 mark because they come being very familiar with the food. They know what they want to order. They come in, they have a really nice chat with, you know, with wait staff. And for a restaurant like that, I literally just spoke to her last night. And her lunch crowd is overbooked. And now they're getting dinner crowd coming in as well. You know, so from a stage where they were wondering, should they move out from that building, to now they're like, well, we'll only move if they kick us out.
Right. And, you know, sometimes it's very, it's the simplest thing, right? I mean, as in the software isn't so you know, outside.
Super changi.
So we're going to use that word too. You know, so, but, and understanding the whole thing about customer acquisition, but the lifetime value that they keep coming back, we don't spend enough time
analyzing that.
Right.
And most of the time, you don't even spend time understanding that, let alone analyzing it.
All right. I'm here with Renuka Sena from Proficio. We'll go through some of the case studies after this. This is Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu. I'm here with Renuka Sena on our topic, how can businesses adopt technology? Very interesting because we've been going through some real life case studies. We're going to go through a couple more. This is, we're going to Ipoh now. Right. This is an e-commerce born business selling sportswear online from Ipoh. So, you know, tell me about the story here.
This company is called PTT Outdoor. And the founder really is a sports enthusiast himself. Right. So for him, he started selling online and he was doing fairly well. For him, although e-commerce, you know, technically speaking, you would think is already digital, right? It's already tech. So what else do you need to know? But a lot of people sell online, but they also have very simple software like inventory management systems. They have very simple software like accounting systems. But a lot of people use accounting systems purely because they need to track their revenue, invoices in, invoices out, and then dump the whole thing to their accountants at the end of the year for the annual return. And that's about it. So he went back and he started tracking, okay, who was his customer? And one of the things that we teach all of our companies is basically the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle.
Right.
Essentially, you will always find that 20% of your customers give you the 80% of your revenue, okay? Or similarly, 20% of the products sold actually give you 80% of your revenue. So those were the things he went back to track. So he tracked, number one, what was the so-called 20% of product that was sold the most. Second thing that he tracked was basically what was the pricing for these products, because you need to see also, you know, the margins associated with it. He started then to use this data to actually determine, okay, so let's test the assumption. Rather than it be gut feel, let's test the assumption that really these are the products that people want to buy. So then you you do use your Facebook ads and your Google ads and your things like that, and you start promoting these products to test and see whether these are really the hot selling items. And when you make the decision that yes, you now have data to show this is the product. So you take out that gut feel from a decision making. You know that this is how you're going to start tracking from now on what products sell better. And then on top of it, going back to sell more to your customers. Once you know what products certain customers like to buy, for e-commerce businesses, basket size, in a sense that, you know, what you put in your basket for checkout is a very important thing to track. So they start now grouping these products. So if someone, say, bought a backpack, you know, they would sell them, you know, would they be interested in, say, a raincoat? Would they be interested in a cap? Would they be interested in a walking stick? Would, you know, generally if someone's buying a backpack, they're probably traveling somewhere. So they make these sort of intuitive decisions and then do this promo, sell more. So before you check out, that it's the eternal McDonald's, you know, would you like fries with that? So they ask those kind of questions. So they increase their basket size as well. And what was very interesting for me is something as simple as an accounting system has got so much of data that people are not really analyzing.
Right.
You don't know really how you're doing it. And now, you know, so if you go down the track, so you track basically what is your 80-20, what products, what customers are buying. Then you decide, I will test and see, is this really what customers want to buy? Moving from that, you now talk about inventory management and how you order. So you know that if this is the demand on a monthly basis, for e-commerce businesses, they might need to actually order 6 months in advance to have stock. And when you order that much from a vendor, basically they're going to give you better margins, right? So your margin increases as well,
right?
You know, so margins make or break e-commerce companies. Right. And for them, I think all of those types of tech adoption really is what made a difference,
right?
You know, and literally from 2017 when he came in to 2018 when he left, he had a 300% growth rate.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, that really is amazing to me.
All right. Okay. One more case study here, and this is equipment supply distribution and maintenance challenge. This is a company distributing forklift parts in Malaysia and also internationally. 16 years in operations and is traditional family run business. So what was the issue here?
This was, to me, actually a very interesting case study. Nicholas from Egan, and that's what the company's called, he's literally second generation taking over, right? So father had set up this business, run it for all of these years. A lot of how that business was run was in the father's head. And, you know, having taken over, so most of the time, you know, you take over and you kind of know, but you don't know what you don't know, right? And the old man doesn't know what to tell you about what to do because he just instinctively knows. So how do you download all of these things? And Nicholas, literally, I think before coming into the program, he went to all sorts of accelerators and, you know, the done thing lah, what people do, you know, go to accelerator, find out what they need to do, try and do, try and find out about technology. So he came into the program at his first coaching session, raring to go. He was like, these are all my plans, coach. I want to adopt this software, this software, this software. I think, you know, this is what we're going to do. I have AI. I want to bring in robotics. Using all of those buzzwords lah, right? And the coaches just said to him, great that you have dreams.
Okay.
Let's get down to basics.
Right.
Okay. Who are your customers? And he said, well, you know, people who are looking for forklifts. So he said, so how is business driven? And he said, well, basically, it's reactive. Like they come to us and then we tell them what they need and then we sell to them. And said, so do they come back? Do they need to come back? If they're ordering parts, there must be maintenance and things like that. And he did not have any clue of what that was. So for him, again, went back to accounting and inventory. So it's a combination of the accounting system, okay, which is basically who's buying, how much are they buying, how frequently are they buying, and for the parts that they are buying, does it have a lifetime value? So can you go back to this customer within a year's time when the warranty is over and say, how's that part doing? Do you need to replace it? Etc. etc. So, and they didn't even have a clue, Frida, in terms of, did the customer come back more than once? Because it was a reactive business. And this is true of all entrepreneurs. You know, you ask them, so why do the customers buy from you? He says, I don't ask that question. If they come and want to buy, I sell. And every SME who runs a production or manufacturing facility needs a forklift.
Right.
Right. So there is a very clear customer segment.
Mm.
And if you really want to target the customer segment, you can actually provide all of these things. So just like Gideon or Bloom this, Nicholas decided to go back to the ground and watch his people work. Mm. So he watched everything from the sales process to the factory process to how they were actually ordering. And similarly, in a sense that whatever processes were repeated, okay, he decided to automate. So for them, there's a lot more questions about, you know, product specifications, how long does it last, which product is it useful for. So all of those things, their salespeople were spending so much time explaining over and over and over again. So now he has incorporated chatbots. Mm. So the chatbot has got AI, which means it kind of understands the moment you type in a certain type of questions, it gives you a few other questions that people normally ask.
Right.
So a lot of that is taken out of the sales guy's time.
Hmm.
On top of that, now they know who their customers are, what forklifts they have bought for them. So now they can anticipate that within a certain period of time, certain parts are going to need to be changed.
Right.
So they can anticipate that and go back to them and say, you know, so how's your product doing? And, you know, is there any need for whatever? And so they sell more as well.
Mm.
And they hire a lot of Gen Y and Gen Z, right? Mm. And these guys really, you know, they're out there because B2B, you know, a lot of it is FaceTime. You can't do cold calls over the phone. So these guys, they actually do a lot over WhatsApp, you know, and nowadays, especially with WhatsApp for Business, there's so much that people do within WhatsApp. We don't talk anymore. And Gen Y, according to him, Gen Y and Gen Z don't like talking. Everything is on WhatsApp. Even the customers that order from them, everything is on WhatsApp. So they basically now have a tool to collate all of that information, put it into some kind of a system where they can actually start understanding better what the customer is. So I asked him, so I said, so Nicholas, do you have a CRM system? And he said, not yet. And my coaches will be proud to hear that I said not yet. Because I'm still trying to understand what kind of CRM system will work for me. He says, I don't want to develop it. I've learned that much. There are a lot of systems out there that can do this for me. But I need to find one that suits me and one that the sales guys can use.
Right.
So his retention rate went from 0
right
to 80%.
Wow. Okay. 0 to 80%.
Yes.
Right. And the sales also went up, right? I mean, they were going through it. They were stagnant and everything.
Correct.
And it went up.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us. A very interesting case study. It's very real. And, you know, these are the stories. Sometimes we take technology. We get scared with technology.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the simple things, right? Even getting an Excel spreadsheet.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And that's technology. Thanks for being with us, Ranuka Sena of Proficio, on how business can adopt technology. So if you've missed any of this interview, we have our app on the Apple App Store and or Google Play, and also our website bfm.my/podcast, where you can listen to and download the podcast. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.